Welcome, and welcome to our regular scheduled village board meeting for Monday, February 25th. If I can ask the village clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Carji.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti. Trustee Hennig. Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. If I can ask you, please stand and say the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, so Deborah and Dan, you could do it now, or you can wait till 8 a.m. It's up to you. Wait? All righty. We're flexible up here. Okay. All righty. So next up is the elected official comments and announcements. Maybe I'll go ahead and give my State of the Village speech, if that's okay, and then we can take comments afterwards if you'd like. All right. Why don't I go to the podium? Thank you. Glasses. All right. It's always nice to be up here. So I thought I'd take this opportunity to give the State of the Village. I do it every year. And I try to do it right before we begin to talk about our budget. So we're starting to talk through the capital projects, but and all the other budget items. So good evening, village trustees, village clerk, village administrator Eric Palm, assistant village administrator Lisa Shiner, police chief Jim O'Shea, fire chief Kurt Bowman, finance director Rosie McAdams, and public works director John Anderson. I'd like to take a few minutes to speak with you about the state of our village. I can't emphasize enough that while we have made progress, we still have a ways to go. I know you're probably tired of hearing me talk about the importance of keeping our community safe, about stabilizing property taxes, and strengthening property values to make River Forest a great place to live. I can't stress enough that there is nothing more important for our vitality than these three core values. They will be our guiding principles again in 2019. And I want to spend some time discussing each one in greater detail. The village remains committed to the core belief that we live in a safe community. We accomplish that goal through increased transparency, communication, and the strategic use of technology. Did you know we post monthly crime summaries on our website and Facebook page so you can become aware of incidents that take place in River Forest? In addition, Chief O'Shea will continue the successful quarterly crime prevention meetings to engage and educate with the community on public safety matters. The Chief and I have talked about increasing participation since they are held to educate the public on important crime prevention information and strategies. I'd like the administration to see how we can use perhaps live streaming and other social media, as well as to maybe rotate the venues to allow more expanded citizen participation. We will bolster our use of technology to support the work of the law enforcement by expanding our street cameras to other parts of the community and updating the radios and in-squad computer units that officers rely on to do their jobs. As part of the commitment to safety, we anticipate implementing the results of the Safe Walking Routes to School study, a collaboration project with Elementary District 90. The initiative, which we began looking into last year, will include nearly 70 new stop signs throughout River Forest and add several crosswalks to help students and pedestrians safely cross our streets. As a result of this study, the village will eliminate nearly all of the uncontrolled intersections, making it safer for students, pedestrians, and motorists to navigate our streets. The second core value is strengthening our property values. A major component that will further this principle is an updated comprehensive plan. A lot of hard work went into this 18-month study, and I am happy to report that this initiative will be the framework of our current and future land use. And it will be transformative. It will fold in a sweeping set of bike lanes and other facilities to encourage bicycling is a safe model of alternative transportation and other form of recreation. The study will also look at how land in our public recreational and institutional sections can be used. The plan also will look at the types of development that needs to happen in our commercial corridors. This is imperative, with half of the property in our community not subject to property taxes because it's owned by nonprofits or government. River Forest must get the highest and best use out of our commercially zoned property. This leads into a third core value, stabilizing property taxes. Economic development must remain a priority. As a built-out community, River Forest has to enhance and reinvest in our existing community corridor, commercial corridors. Several key projects will move forward in 2019. Lake and Lathrop, we continue to work with Sedgwick Development and Keystone Ventures as they market and secure contracts for their new mixed-use development. This project will be an anchor as we envision Lake Street becoming our downtown. We look toward Lake and Park as the other anchor of our downtown. With focus and perseverance, a project will be before our Economic Development Commission, chaired by Bob O'Connell, by the end of 2019. At Chicago and Harlem, construction will start this summer on a senior living facility. The 125-unit assisted living and memory care community will generate nearly $700,000 in property taxes, the third largest behind Town Center 1 and West Suburban Medical Center complex. It will provide a significant amount of an additional assessed evaluation for all of our taxing bodies. The state-of-the-art facility will fill a long-standing need by offering our senior population the ability to age in place in our village. And I will talk about this a bit later. We will continue to look for promising redevelopment and revitalization of our North Avenue and Madison Street TIF. As part of our TIF revitalization strategy, the village approved incentive agreements with two local businesses, Skincare Company and Spa, and In-N-Out Fitness Center, to relocate from Lake Street to Madison Street. A major collaboration among taxing bodies and key stakeholders is underway to create a new civic center at the west end of Madison Street. This could be an exciting redevelopment for Madison Street and for our community as a whole, and a good use of TIF funds. I want to take a moment here now to thank Trustee Susan Conti. Unfortunately, she is not here today, who will be stepping down after 14 years of dedicated public service to River Forest. Susan chaired the Ad Hoc Economic Development Committee when it was formed in 2013 and was instrumental in formally establishing the Economic Development Commission. Her expertise on this important issue came through in discussions on each project the village has undertaken. We will miss her institutional memory and her passion. Thank you, Susan. Redevelopment is one strategy that strengthens property values and makes River Forest an attractive community for people to live, work, and raise a family. Another is a sound bottom line, and I am proud to report that we have balanced our budget for 9 straight years. Our administration always looks to cut expenses and live within our means. This is so vital and important to our community's well-being. Thanks goes out to Trustee Carmela Corsini, the chair of our board's finance committee, who will also be stepping down this May after 8 years of dedicated public service. Thank you for all the commitment and your stewardship. For everyone's hard work in this, I thank you. Thank you, Carmela.
Thank you.
I also want to thank former finance director Joan Rock, who shepherded River Forest through some really stressful times and helped guide us on a good financial footing. She is one reason why River Forest finances are on solid ground. Now we welcome our new finance director, Rosie McAdams, who will continue our tradition of strong financial performance. As we focus on our economic vitality, River Forest also needs to concentrate on how we can improve our overall quality of life. I'm talking about caring for our community's vulnerable, our seniors. We are now one of 5 Illinois communities designated as dementia friendly. This will help raise awareness and educate our citizens about the issues surrounding dementia. It also will allow us to see how patients and caregivers can connect with important resources. This has taken a lot of hard work by our partners, including the Village, River Forest Township, Concordia University, age options, and many more. I have been appointed as a chairperson of the Mayor's Caucus Subcommittee on Aging in Place, and I know that our involvement will spell out some initiatives that communities can engage in as they continue to engage in and around this significant issue. In 2017, nearly 16% of our community residents were over the age of 65. 7% of our residents were over the age of 75, and those numbers will only rise as the baby boomers continue to age. Nothing is more important to me than helping our seniors remain active. Nothing is more important than helping them integrate into as many of our aspects of life as possible. Nothing is more important than having the necessary resources so they can maintain a healthy quality of life. In the near future, I will be bringing before the Board of Trustees a pledge that I will ask you to pass that will focus around the importance of aging in place. We need to continue to foster environmental stewardship. Our Sustainability Commission has done a stellar work in making River Forest a greener, healthier community. The commission, under the leadership of Katie Brennan, helped create a bike path strategy in our comprehensive plan and made River Forest the second community in Illinois to have curbside composting. We look to our green team to create new programs and projects that will improve our village's health and meet the goals of Planet Green and the Greenest Region Compact initiatives. River Forest also must reach out beyond our borders and join the leaders in our neighboring communities to exchange ideas and address common challenges. Our elected officials need to come together again and talk about how we can build on the success of our community calendar. Check out the website at www.rfhappenings.com if you haven't seen our new community calendar. I had the opportunity to present it as a good example of community engagement at a local government innovation conference in Washington, D.C. I want to thank Trustee Cargi and John Pate for spearheading this initiative. Civic engagement is vital to the health of our democratic society. It creates better policies and reinvigorates democratic practices. Leaders from all of our taxing districts need to take the time to listen and learn from their constituents on what matters to them. I therefore call for the series of listening tours where residents can engage in constructive dialogue with officials to learn what is on their minds in a constructive dialogue and to figure out how we can come with constructive resolutions. An action plan and timeline should be forged to get that work done, and I would ask our collaboration committee under the leadership of Trustee Cargi to lead this effort. All of our work and effort cannot happen in a vacuum. Communication is the thread that binds together everything we do. Communication is imperative to keep government transparent and accountable. We do not start any initiative or any new program, from infrastructure or to development, without taking firm steps to apprise you of what we are planning to do and keep you updated as the project moves forward. We could not update our comprehensive plan without citizen input. We cannot hold our successful quarterly police meetings without your intent listening and asking good questions. The village and District 90 could not provide a solid, safe walking to school plan without active citizen participation. Without engaged citizens, we cannot do what we do day in and day out. Staying involved means taking advantage of the myriad of ways that we keep you informed. Our new website, www.vrf.us, is user-friendly. We have a set of electronic means of communication with our e-newsletter and alerts informing citizens about crime, road closures, construction, and other important messages. Our Facebook page is regularly updated on what is happening in our village. I would like to see the administration move into more other social media, such as Instagram or Your Story. We live in a modern community with a small town feel. That means ready access to your elected officials. Our regular trustees and commission meetings provide ample opportunity to hear your concerns and answer your questions. If you can't attend, you can access audio from those meetings and call or email us with questions. Many of you take the time to call us at home or chat with us while we're shopping at the library or a number of places around town. If you know of a way to improve how we can be reached, or you want to reach out to us, please give us a call. We'd love to know what you think. Finally, I want to digress a bit and talk about our property taxes. My letter to the residents last month focused on the question of property taxes. And again, I want to emphasize, River Forest is the best bet in the Chicagoland area. Our taxes, compared to all the other surrounding communities, including Chicago, are a tremendous value. Overall, think of everything you receive in return for your taxes. An award-winning and wonderful public school district. A police and fire department second to none. Beautiful, historic, and architecturally significant homes. Serene streets. A community that has made concerted investments in stormwater management and other green initiatives. Beautiful parks, a charming library, and top performers at Dominican Performing Arts Center. And I can go on and on. River Forest is a great investment, and the Village Board and the staff work hard to provide you with not only wonderful services, but also a quality of life that is meaningful and pleasurable. We strive to make River Forest a place where you can all be proud of. And together we can make our community a role model for leadership, innovation, and progress. Thank you very much. So if I can, maybe we'll have other elected official comments and announcements. Mike?
Thanks, Kathy. That was a very informative address. And it's good to know that everyone at the board table and staff seems to be doing a good job. I sing the praises of our village as often as I can, and I, for one, am very happy to live here. Nothing else to add. You've said it all.
Thank you.
Anything? Nothing, but very well said. Thank you.
Thanks.
Russ?
Yes. Good evening, everybody. I just wanted to just remind everybody there are a number of elections going on. Well, a number of people running and candidates for various elections and public bodies in River Forest. And I know there's a couple of candidate forums that are being sponsored by the League of Women Voters and the River Forest Civic Association. So just want to quickly announce that the Public Library, River Forest Public Library, and the River Forest Village Board is going to have their forum, again, for the League of Women Voters on February 27th from 6:30 to 8:30. And then there's the Oak Park River Forest High School forum that's going to be on March the 18th from 6:30 to 8:30. And then the River Forest Park District and the River Forest Elementary District 90 is going to have theirs on 6:30 to 8:30. And originally it was posted at 7, but it's going to start at 6:30. The Buzz Cafe also has their forums for the same public bodies. I just want to wish all the candidates good luck. Thank you for your interest in running. And hopefully everybody will be out there interested in attending these forums and learning about the prospective candidates. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom?
First, Kathy, thank you for your kind words. I should note Jack gets most of the credit, but more importantly, all the other members of the committee were instrumental in getting it done. It was a long process, longer than I thought it was going to take, but at the end of the day, I think we're doing a pretty good work product. And then obviously we can talk about the idea you just announced tonight.
Yeah, when I talk to people or show the website, they're amazed at it. I mean, they just love it. So we were just talking to John a little bit about how we can promote more, you know, the website. And so, but yeah, thank you for your service. That was awesome. It's awesome.
Camilla? Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming. Thank you, Kathy, for the kind words. And I think I'm counting down 4 more meetings. But it's been a pleasure, and we'll talk about that in 4 meetings from now. But anyway, I appreciate your recognition. It's been my extreme pleasure and honor to serve. I just wanted to state that the governor gave his budget address, some interesting things that were discussed there, some revenue streams that are interesting as well, and I'll continue to urge this board and the next board to make sure that they keep a close eye on what's going on, make sure that, you know, if there's unfunded mandates that are going to be passed down, that there's ways that, you know, there may be some opt-out provisions so that we're not unduly burdening our businesses and those types of things. So I'm sure you will be keeping a close eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I would really strongly encourage us to look at is the update on the PSEBA ordinance and resolution that I think we passed a couple of years ago, and there's some amendments to that. Those amendments are very strategically important. This is an area that's a totally huge claim on village finances that's really kind of under the radar and people don't talk about a lot. We've done a great job of managing those costs, and I would encourage us to take a look at that, those amendments, and update that.
Yeah, the village attorney's already in that process.
Right.
So I suspect by our next March meeting we'd have those.
Yeah. So those are going to be significant for us to have some future savings and management in that mm-hmm. in that regard. And I believe that's all that I have. Thank you.
Along those lines, Carmela, what Eric and I did is I met personally with Representative Chris Walsh. He is the chairman of the House Executive Committee. I don't know if I said that last board meeting, which is good news. And of course, Senator Lightfoot, our senator, is the majority leader for the Senate. So that's also very good news. And what Eric and I did is we put a list together of our projects, kind of shovel-ready projects. There were about 8-9 of them. Because in the anticipation of the infrastructure capital bill that Governor Pritzker will probably hopefully approve, hopefully we'll get in a queue for some of that those projects. We also sent a memo to Representative Walsh regarding our Union Pacific issue and some of the crumbling walls that are going on in River Force, and asked his help to get the representatives from Union Pacific to help clean up the crumbling walls. I do think they have an impact on our property values. They don't look good. They might be safe, but they certainly don't look, they don't make our community look good. He's vowed to help us with that. So I think in general, of course, being part of the Illinois Municipal League and being on that board, we get readily good information, and they're up to speed on a lot of those key bills that I think you were referring to. We'll keep our eyes and ears open for any anything that we need to support or oppose. I think that's it. I don't think there's any. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Just real quick. The March 7th, Thursday night, is the public hearing for the draft comprehensive plan. So that's all posted to the village's website. Public is certainly encouraged to review and attend.
Thank you. That's a good reminder. Okay, so I think.
Do you have anything, Clark?
I
think I asked you, and you said
yes.
Very nice words. So, okay, let's move on
Kathy,
to our.
Kathy, I did forget one thing.
Yes.
Forest Parks Parade is Saturday.
Right.
So if you're going, great. If you don't want to go, then avoid Madison Street on Saturday. So it's always a good time, and it does take in part of River Forest. You'll be busy, right? So anyway, fun time for everybody.
Yep, thank you, Mike. Okay, can I get a motion and a second for the consent agenda A through G?
I'll move to approve the consent agenda items A through G.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or concerns? If not, I'll have the clerk read the consent agenda into the minutes.
Consent agenda A, regular village board meeting minutes, February 11th, 2019. B, authorization to sell surplus property, 2006 Ford Crown Victoria ordinance. C, authorization to sell surplus property, 2011 Ford Crown Victoria ordinance. D, authorization to sell surplus property, 2007 Ford Taurus ordinance. E, monthly financial report, January 2019. F, accounts payable, January 2019, $1,948,869.85. G, village administrator's report.
Okay. Could you please take the vote?
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Carji.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Very good. Okay, let's move on to item six, which is consent items for separate consideration.
If it pleases the board, I will not participate or vote on 6A.
Is this correct that they're removed, or we're still able to vote on them? Point of order.
Yeah, these can be voted on. They need four votes to pass, and because four votes are needed as opposed to a majority of those present, the village president may vote as a in order to make a fourth vote.
Okay. So.
We need a motion.
Yes, I'll make a motion to approve accounts payable from the general fund to Anderson Elevator for $620.
Okay. Second. Your second. Okay. Any questions? Hearing none, if I can ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Carji.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
President Adusi.
Yes.
I move to approve accounts payable from the Madison Street TIF Fund for $210.32.
Second.
And for the same reasons as before, my common law conflict of interest, I'm abstaining from voting on this.
Okay. Can I hear, we have a second first. Go ahead.
Trustee Carji.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
President Adusi.
Yes. All right, moving on to recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees.
Motion to concur with the recommendation of village president to appoint Ron Lucchese to the Zoning Board of Appeals to serve the remainder of the term ending April 30th, 2022.
Second.
Okay, if anybody has any questions, Ron Lucchese is a longtime resident in River Forest. He's got an executive background, and I think he'd be a wonderful addition to our Zoning Board of Appeals. So I.
Bob Swindle is just
He just was unable really to make busy and just couldn't make the meeting, and he realized that, you know, he was kind of being a bit of a burdensome, so he said he'll just drop off.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. If I can please have the clerk please take a roll call.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Carji.
Yes.
All right, so unfinished business, and I'll let Dan, you want to come up and make your public comments before we move on to 8A?
And maybe as he's walking up, Madam President, what I'll do is just clarify the ordinance in front of you tonight in the reconsideration. There was one small error. The trustee, again, intending to make a motion to reconsider shall inform the president no more than three business days. As opposed to what was written, not less than, no less than. So that was a mistake on our side. So that would say no more than three business days after the meeting. So I just want to make sure that's what's before you tonight.
All right, thank you.
Hey.
Oh, no, we'll let him comment. I mean, we'll let Dan comment, and then we can make a motion.
I got more comments, too.
Do you mind?
Okay, what I just passed out to you was the same correction for the same thing that Eric addressed. So I'm glad that's been caught. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I want to first start by saying how much it is appreciated by myself and others that you incorporated so much of what was suggested at the February 11th meeting. That's very much appreciated. Still missing from Rule 6 is a requirement on the part of the person intending to make a motion to reconsider to state the basis for making that motion to reconsider, whether it's new information and what that information is, if there was an error, what that error is, or if there's some new law, what that new law is, or other basis. I think that in the interest of facilitating citizen engagement and transparency, a trustee seeking to change their vote and have a reconsideration ought to, when notifying the president, advise the president and the public as to why. Second, and this really goes to the heart of what President Ducey was speaking about, citizen engagement, there's a need for adequate notification to the public of a vote of reconsideration and to any individuals who were required to have been sent a notice. For example, a zoning change, a planned development. I think that the ordinance should specify that the public and people who have been required to be sent a notice for the subject of that reconsideration vote be notified within X number of days of the village president receiving the request from a trustee. I would hope getting a notice out within 2 days would be in a good time period. This is, you know, in a transparent government, shouldn't the public be kept informed and notified about these motions in a timely manner so they have adequate time, adequate advance notice to enable them to attend the meeting where a reconsideration vote would be taken? Finally, and this really cuts to the heart of what President Ducey said about citizen engagement, we had brought up, I brought up, and I guess it was a surprise, about two readings 2 weeks ago. And I don't expect you to be voting on that today. I think a little bit more research and more information would be helpful to the board to understand the reasons for having two readings and what the experience has been in cities that have had two readings of an ordinance before at separate board meetings before they vote on it. And I hope that we will be able to continue this discussion at a later meeting when two board members who are missing here, who expressed, according to the minutes, support for the idea, are present, so that this could be fully fleshed out and very carefully drafted language can be crafted to provide for this in a manner that will increase the efficiency of the function of the board and facilitate the citizen engagement that seems to be a goal of the village. Thank you.
Deborah Hill. I think the work of the trustees and our village administrators is already complicated enough. Everyone works hard to do their jobs right. Adding a post-decision period of uncertainty adds more work and complication to all involved, including trustees' potential for second-guessing their votes, to additional notices for administrators to oversee, and to additional pressures on trustees to change their votes. A decision process should be designed to make sound decisions the first time, rather than to reverse unsound decisions. In addition, a vote should mean something. Mr. Lauber's suggestion that all matters have two readings is a good way to ferret out any uncertainty at the board table over a period of two meetings. This pre-vote approach preserves the sanctity of what a vote should be, while also allowing trustees the opportunity to rethink a matter after it has been discussed. It also adds predictability to the trustees, the administrators, and the residents with respect to notices and expectations. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if we want to, I mean, talk about the notifying residents, because that is an issue that we did talk about last time. And I'll let Administrator Eric Palm discuss that, but I think we've got that covered, Dan, and I just want to make sure you realize that.
Right. So the dialogue that took place at the last meeting, and you know, part of the reason it should be no more than three business days than no less than three business days, was to make sure that the staff had the proper notification that in the event the matter dealt with a zoning-related topic, where we would have sent out public notices, so in matters of plan developments, and then also zoning variations and things of that, similar to that, there's a seven-day notice period that goes out in which we send out notices. So if that matter was being reconsidered by, asked to be reconsidered by a trustee, it's my interpretation that we would then have to go ahead and re-notice because we have that provision already in the village code.
Yeah. Okay, so that's okay, so if I can get a motion and a second for 8A, and then we can discuss it.
I'll move to approve an ordinance to amend Title I of the Village Code regarding rules and order of village business of the village board.
Okay, do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. All right. Maybe before we begin discussing among ourselves, Trustee Hennick did send me some comments that I'd like to read into the record. She mentioned that she was sorry she could not be present to discuss these items with you, and thank you, Kathy, for offering to read my submitted comments. First, I agree with the changes made to Rule 3 for addressing the board. I think these are reasonable guidelines for public comments that will allow anyone to speak, but prevent someone from monopolizing the time allowed. As for Rule 6, I still have reservations about reconsideration rule in general, and I am not in support of this rule as currently written. My reservations specifically relate to process, confidence in board decisions, and unnecessary costs. In my opinion, there is greater benefit to adding time to the review, consideration, discussion process prior to the vote rather than incorporating rule to correct a regretted vote after the fact. This is especially true for decisions based on more complex data. I know in some cases I would appreciate the opportunity to listen to public comments, have a board discussion, and then vote on an item at the next regular board meeting or a specially scheduled meeting if the decision is time sensitive. This would allow the time for trustees to reflect and consider all factors before casting a vote that is later regretted. At the last meeting, the suggestion was made to have two readings of an ordinance prior to the board vote. This is a process I would support. I'd like to think that residents have confidence in board's consideration of any matter, as our intended goal is to engage in a thoughtful process. I believe we will undermine that confidence with a board mechanism that allows for second guessing and a second vote. The exception to this would be if there was truly new information or evidence that wasn't available prior to the original vote. As far as any potential costs, when a reconsideration vote requires notice to residents, this means additional costs and use of staff time that would not otherwise be needed. The cost may be nominal, but a waste of resources, in my opinion. And then she went on and asked some specific questions, and I think we've discussed that with Attorney Smith, and I think some of these are addressed. One was the no later, no more than versus the less than. It says in the original draft, question was a no less than 2/3 vote of the village president and the board of trustees were required to approve, and she asked for clarification, and the clarification is that because we were trying to do the reconsideration at that meeting. Since we're now going through the ordinance without, you know, I think just going through the ordinance in a process, it doesn't need the 2/3. It just needs the 4/7, right?
That's correct.
Right. Let's see. Finally, regarding prolonging the finality of the board vote in each of the last 2 years, she was talking about if there wasn't a run, if we had only like one regular scheduled board meeting once a month versus twice a month, that could prolong the reconsideration as well, which is true. It could. So I think that's about basically her questions. So read that through. Okay, so I'll open it up to the other trustees and
What a clarification was, Trustee Conte had called me.
Oh, yeah.
So she had just said she wanted to reinforce, apologize she couldn't be here, and wanted to reinforce that the reconsideration concept that we're discussing is not one that is unique to River Forest. So we're not, blazing a trail here by any means. After speaking with the village attorney, he had mentioned, and we touched upon this at the last meeting, the most commonly amended rule at a local board level is the matter as it relates to reconsideration. And we found just within Sterling codifiers going through our village code, five other towns that within that their client base that do have, in Illinois, that do have reconsideration.
Remember what towns they were?
Yes, Des Plaines, Prospect Heights, Summit, Riverwoods, Elgin.
And that was a partial search through Sterling, but
so
I would say it's one of the most common amendments, local amendments to Robert's Rules of Order, to extend reconsideration to the next meeting. Each community decides for itself, but it's not an uncommon one to see. And Wheeling is also on the list as Wheeling,
which I think is a significant comment by our attorney.
How often have you seen that used?
Not often.
Okay, so I would imagine that this is something that would be very rarely used, and if it does become apparent that it's something that's abused, then I would urge that the board would actually consider reviewing this as well. I don't The only problem I have is there was an email that we did receive from a resident, which I thought he brought up some good points. I mean,
pardon?
Oh, it was a lady. Okay, she was her husband's email, but it was a lady. And that is that in the period between the time that the vote was taken and then the time to reconsider, I agree that there should be some, and I know we don't want to block ourselves in, but the person requesting that should have a reason why. And if there's a material fact missing or material information missing that was not present at the time that it was originally discussed, I would see how this could be used to, you know, inform possibly a different decision. So I don't know how we could incorporate that into the wording, if that's necessary or not. But the one point that she made was that there could be, and I don't want to say shenanigans, but there could be, you know, an opportunity for someone to approach a board member in between that period of time to change their vote and put pressure on them for some reason or whatever. I'm sure it would never happen here, but the possibility would exist. And, you know, so I thought that was an interesting point about if there is a meeting between whoever the vote, and we're assuming these are zoning matters. I mean, because it doesn't seem like this would happen in
it's
other.
It's right. Only zoning matters.
Right.
It's only zoning matters.
Well, but no, we haven't talked about that.
No, it's, we can reconsider anything. We have.
If we get one meeting to put a stop sign somewhere, we can ask to reconsider.
Well, that,
to say
that,
no.
And I guess that's why.
That's what I'm saying. We can reconsider everything.
Anything.
But
yeah,
zoning
issues. Only zoning.
No, I'm sorry. We can reconsider it almost anything,
right.
But zoning. Right.
But
so
zoning?
We're
so this does
zoning?
Not qualify for
this
zoning?
This is for zoning. This is what this is. Right?
No.
Oh.
This is everything.
Right? Like when we did skincare company.
You bring it up again. But the issue here is with zoning and other matters, you have to go
right.
Back to the zoning. You
know, no, I get
the
that.
Applicant would have to start over again.
Right. That's the major difference.
Right.
Right.
Well, okay.
But that's not what we're saying here.
That, I guess, I'm sorry. I'm not.
No, I mean,
you're
so
off.
I'm having an issue with, you know, the public comment is really, it feels like you're referring mostly to zoning matters. Because as an example, tonight we had some ordinances that we put in our consent agenda. You're not
right.
Going to have two readings of an ordinance to sell surplus equipment in a consent agenda. You know what I'm saying? So we have to kind of figure
out. Well, the second
then,
reading is a different issue than
different
the motion to reconsider.
Right, but I'm
so.
Saying how do you determine what you would have a second reading on, and how do you determine what is significant enough to have a second vote? You know
okay.
What I'm
well, I understand what you're
okay.
Saying. I'm just saying there's two different
right,
things here. We're talking about a second reading and an ordinance, and I think that's going to take a different
right.
Discussion altogether.
We're not
because,
talking about
right.
That
we're not talking
right.
About that now anymore.
Right.
Because just the point you raised, and plus some other things that have to be contemplated before we take a vote on that. But I think on the motion to reconsider, I do. I do agree. I was the one who raised it the last time about having some criteria on the motion to reconsider, because I didn't want to rehash everything. And I'm not saying that was the intent of the motion to reconsider when this language was proposed, but I do think with future boards, we should have some type of limitation or criteria that we're not going to just open the issue altogether. Number one, and I throw out new law, new evidence, or some other reason why. I'm assuming maybe the trustees are not, if you're not inclined to go along with that. But I do think then we do need to correct, at minimum, the language in here, because it says a motion to reconsider must be made by a trustee who voted on the prevailing side of the vote or question to be reconsidered. I assume this should have been an and instead of an or.
No, the Robert's Rules of Order discusses votes and questions as being different items. So, you know, this board makes votes. You could put and in there, but the point is that you're reconsidering votes that this body takes.
Okay, and I guess I just want to make sure then if we're not going to do any new law or evidence or we have to, I would say, a basis for it, because if someone says, I want a motion to reconsider, and no basis or explanation as to why they want it reconsidered, other than the person who's making the motion to reconsider, the rest of us technically are going to come to a meeting not knowing why we're reconsidering it, and then finding out possibly that for the first time what the reasons are. And I don't think that's fair or to the whole body here. If someone's going to make that motion to reconsider, they should state the specific basis of why they're raising that motion. So the rest of us aren't surprised.
I would think inherent in any motion to reconsider is an explanation for why it's asked to be reconsidered. So I don't know procedurally you need to do that, because you'd be kind of foolish to come to me and say, I want to reconsider this, but I can't tell you why I want to do it. So
No. I won't tell you why until I get to the meeting is what I'm talking about. I mean, it's only fair. Whoever's making the motion to reconsider should state the basis why they're making the motion, so the rest of us know.
So could you add in this section where it says, the trustee intending to make a motion to reconsider shall inform the president no more than 3 business days after the meeting when the motion was, or the original vote was taken, and the reason for reconsideration? I mean, so at least notification.
I don't think there is an issue with saying, and a reason. Right. I mean, so long as it's not defined, like,
right,
it has to be new evidence.
Right, that's my concern with what
I think
new evidence
reason
or other,
seems reasonable.
In requiring and setting a standard of new evidence or new law,
right,
what is new evidence to you may not be new evidence to me. So I think actually the current
approach. Well, because when you say material, right? I mean,
right.
You know, what's
material.
It's material.
Right. So I think a reason is a good compromise.
So then the ordinance could be amended to provide at the end of Rule 6, after original vote was taken, with the reason for the motion.
Mm-hmm.
To reconsider. Okay.
With the reason for the motion to reconsider.
And I personally, you know, this kind of covers our bases. I personally would really never want to see this used, or on very rare occasions used. And, you know, but if you don't have it here, and there is some significant, you know, reason for a trustee to want to review something, we don't have the opportunity. So, I'm struggling with it, but I think having a reason, having that notification ahead of time, making sure this thing doesn't get abused, you know, is important to me.
One,
yeah.
Okay. One, I think, is a check on abuse is the credibility of the village, of the trustee. I mean, if you're doing this all the time, you can reasonably question why even on the board.
Right.
I can tell you that this is the first time in my 6 years of doing this that I even thought of regretting, which is an interesting word, a vote that I made. I mean, I just made a mistake the last time, and I wanted to fix the mistake. So that was sort of the impetus from my perspective on this.
And this is not a personal shot. I know I was the one, but it was not. But I am thinking of it in the future,
right,
out of this body here.
You know, regarding
that,
the evil trustee.
Yeah, well, you never know. I mean, I've had...
Well, I go back to, you know, I know we're still a small town, and we are talking about sometimes neighbors that we, you know, we probably know all the people that come before us. So, you know, I'm not struggling with it really at all, Carmela. I think this is the right thing to do, especially in light of what Trustee Carji just said. You know, he made a mistake, and so I, you know, it's like, I think it happens, and I think it should give us an opportunity to make it right if that's the right way to go.
Speaking for the south side.
Okay.
Well, I forgot you're over there, Mike.
And
yeah.
I have one more comment, and it could be after.
Yeah, wait. Well, okay, let me.
Okay.
Hang on. Go ahead.
And it's like a question, because when Eric mentioned there's a 7-day notice, can I ask, is the 7-day before the meeting? When does the 7-day kick in? The 7-day notice kick in. We already have a 7-day notice.
Right, 7 days before the meeting.
So 7 days before the meeting.
Regular scheduled meeting.
Regular scheduled
meeting. Right, okay. So it says they have to have it 7 days before that.
It has to be mailed out.
That's why the no and less didn't make any sense.
Is it mailed or emailed?
Mailed.
So they won't get it.
7 days.
So you mail it on 7 days before, or you mail it so they get it 7 days before?
It's a fair question. I want to be clear too. It has to be postmarked, dropped in the mail 7 days prior to the meeting taking place.
But that's for a zoning matter.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So to bring up your issue with a stop sign. Okay. What would you do in that case? Would you have to notify everybody that was on the list of, you know, that signed a petition?
But we don't notify people
to
that effect.
Okay.
We notify them for traffic and safety.
right, Mike, what is your, okay.
Well, my only concern is this, is that the period between the 3 days and the period of really, I know it's 7 days you mail it, but then that means that person's not going to get that notice. It's going to get less than that before the meeting. And my point is, what happens to the person? Let's assume someone, we granted a zoning, and they start acting, not knowing that we are now going to reconsider. They get the notice. What happens?
Greg answered that question last time. So
the last time.
Hang on.
Just so we're all clear.
Maybe Greg.
Yeah. So last meeting I talked about the concept of vested rights, that you have legislative discretion at times to reverse your decisions, but where someone has acted in reliance on one of your decisions, and if they would be prejudiced by you changing your minds, then the courts will say you can't change your mind because they relied on you. So that is the check and balance on you changing your mind in some ways. If they pulled a permit and wrote a contract and started work, you're stuck.
So in following that, in following that that logic, wouldn't it be better for us to get the notice out sooner to the affected, and this is like zoning, so on those issues, wouldn't it be better to get the notice out to them before hopefully they act on it? At waiting, because the longer we wait to give them the notice, the more increased chance or potential risk that they're going to act on it. If we give them the notice sooner, won't we cut that risk?
Yeah, Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, pragmatically speaking, though, on a zoning matter.
Yeah, it's a no vote.
Well, people are not going to go to the extent, especially on an addition, even a fence, they're not going to go ahead and make the expense to design the work and hire someone to do the building permits until they have zoning approval. So it's not, with the exception of maybe a demolition type situation, no one's going to come in the next day and start work, practically speaking. And even if it was a fence, they still have to order the fence unless they're going to Menards and, you know. So are there chances that could happen? Possibly, I would say they're more than not. And then in terms of the notification, I would just say we would still meet the notice requirements regardless if it was the first time through the process or the second time. So unless you change the time frame, which I would not suggest you do, we're still meeting that requirement. They would still get it the same way they got it the first time.
Mike?
Okay. The last meeting I asked the question, and we'll use a zoning thing for an example. If someone walked out of this room with a yes vote and they started the work the next day, how would the reconsideration thing come through? And the answer was, it's over. You missed your chance to reconsider it. The project started, the building's gone. And I was okay with that answer. If the answer at this meeting now is that everything is in limbo until the opportunity to reconsider has passed, then I'm not okay with that answer. I was okay with the final vote being the final vote, and a trustee having the opportunity to reconsider had the final vote from the previous meeting not been acted upon. I'm not in favor of the limbo aspect of it. It kind of puts neighbors against each other for a second round, so to speak.
So, Mike, I don't want to interrupt, but I don't think either we said it wrong, you heard it wrong. I think the answer is the same as last time. I mean, if
so, right? If somebody gets a yes vote,
yeah,
and they act on it the next day,
yeah,
the opportunity to reconsider has passed.
It's the general rule of law is that, yes, once someone has a vested right, meaning that they acted in reliance on it, you're not allowed to go back on your prior approval. There's case law that interprets your zoning authority, generally speaking, that way.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So it hasn't changed.
You had your day before the board.
Okay.
To the example of Trustee Kargi wanted to reconsider to change his mind. I'm okay with Tom changing his mind. No one sits at this table the first vote and says, what's your reason? No one asks me why I voted given way. Why do they have to do it the second time? I'm uncomfortable with that. We're elected officials. We're supposed to have the wisdom to serve this duty. If someone votes in one manner or another, and they go home and they look themselves in the mirror and talk themselves out of it. I'm just uncomfortable that I have to tell you a reason why I'm changing my mind. I mean, Abraham Lincoln was once quoted saying, "I'd like to think I get smarter every day." Well, what if I wake up tomorrow and I'm smarter than I was last night when I made that vote that I want to change now?
But the chances are you're going to tell us why you made that reason.
I guess.
So I don't know if that's, I don't think this is a hard thing.
I think having a reason is a good thing. You know, when we make rules, you got to have a reason. Okay, well, what if the board decides that that's, you know, later when the bad trustee gets put at the microphone? Is there a possibility in the future that your reason's not good enough, so you can't, we won't reconsider it?
I don't believe that's what we're saying. They're just saying you have to just give a reason. It's not saying you have to accept the reason. So,
right. But also, a motion to reconsider has to be first approved by the board before you can actually revote the issue.
Right.
And so, again, as I said before, inherent in bringing the motion is you're going to explain why you're bringing the motion.
Right.
Because otherwise you're not going to persuade anybody.
Right.
If it says I want to change my mind, I wouldn't vote for that.
Yeah.
I think, Mike, we often do give reasons for our votes. I mean, I gave a reason why I voted yes in this case and no in this case, which I've never thought.
But we don't have to.
We don't have to, but I think we do. I mean, I think, again, that's especially a procedure as novel as this, because we haven't never done it, even under following Robert's rules, no one's ever moved to reconsider in a meeting. So I do think, given the anomalous event of asking to reconsider, I think it makes sense to offer a reason why.
I'm just covering all the bases. I know it's a weird thing to bring up. I'm just bringing it up for the sake of.
For us.
Okay.
I think it does warrant a reason. And I think the change that Carmel proposed is a good one.
Yeah, I do too. I think it makes sense.
And to your point too, just because you are calling for reconsideration doesn't mean that it's going to get overturned.
Right.
I mean, you're still going to be sitting in front of the people that talked about it before, and whether your reason is good enough or bad enough or whatever, their consequences for that, you know, are going to be discussed at that meeting.
And again, the check on this is your credibility as a trustee.
Right.
So if you're just saying, you know, when I look in the mirror and I change my mind,
right,
you know, I think that that would be a troubling thing for you to say in an open meeting. I would like to address the one thing that was raised in the email from some people who talked about, which is the politicking. These aren't quasi-judicial decisions. These are political decisions. And we all have First Amendment rights to approach trustees if we want to talk to them about an issue, even if I think after a vote. So I disagree about the politicking issue. Again, that's what we do. That's listening to our residents is what we're supposed to do as trustees. And so I would not want either the suggestion that you can't talk to anyone or the judge to disclose who you talk to, because that's not fair to the people to talk to. Then that makes it more difficult for someone if they don't want their name exposed, even if it's the owner of the property.
That can happen before the first vote, too.
True. But yeah, I wanted to explain why I was opposed to that. I do think that that's, even though these are extraordinary motions, they're still a political decision, not a judicial. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I think good stuff, good dialogue. So my village attorney and administrator said we first have to move a motion to take it off the table because we tabled it. Last meeting.
So,
your motion seconded by Mike.
Yes.
So.
Well, no. So at this point, there's a motion to approve the ordinance on the agenda. If you could amend your motion to approve to remove from the table and for its approval, if you, the two trustees who moved and seconded are okay with that, along with the amendment to add the language to Rule 6 with the reason for the motion to reconsider, we can take a single vote on those three issues.
Okay. I do that.
Okay, you so moved, Dan. Okay.
So moved.
Okay.
So seconded.
All right, so I think.
All right, and I appreciate the softening of the language, too, with the restraining and taking that.
Right, exactly. All right, so I'm going to ask the clerk to please take the vote.
And just for clarity, it's going to include the language that Carmella put in?
Yes, so let me
to make sure.
Right, we changed the no less. We put an added reason.
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Carji.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on to 9A, new business.
Move to pass a resolution of support for a grant application to the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning for the Harlem Avenue Multimodal Viaduct Project.
Second. No-brainer. No-brainer.
Right. All right, any discussion?
Who's funding that agency? Is that Illinois funding that agency?
CMAP?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I am not 100% sure where they get their funding from. I know part of it's from dues. This particular pot of money is actually, so the STP fund is the fund that we've used for Division, Chicago, Washington, for those major resurfacing projects. They've gone back, and the Metropolitan Planning Organizations have, and that money all comes from D.C., they've re-examined how they're going to do those projects, so they're actually taking some of that money and using it for now for larger region-wide types of initiatives. So this is actually it's not new money per se, it's just money that's been redirected into a different.
And I think they get a big piece out of Illinois, too.
Yeah.
But so dues are, who are the members? Is communities are members?
Yeah.
The county.
What's the dues?
They're not a lot. They're under $1,000.
There's going to be a lot of, but they pop.
No. But, I mean, it's a full, I mean, they have a staff, an executive director, a full staff over there. They work in the same building with the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. So,
So it's the chances. Well, we got to vote on it first. So why don't we go ahead and vote. Take vote, please.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Okay. 15 years from
we
now,
could
we'll be
use all the support we can get for that Harlan bylaw.
15 years from now, we'll be like, what?
All right. So I think that ends. Might be in record.
Motion to go in executive session.
Yeah, we're going to go into executive session.
To discuss the purchase or lease of real property for use of the public body, including discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired, the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by a public body.
Second.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
So we're opening to Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
President Adusi.
Here. Okay, so no other issues? Motion to adjourn?
To adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, no, hearing none.